It's all about COVID and stimulus still for the stock market, but there was some interesting action in the NASDAQ yesterday. We'll talk about that. Plus, Walmart hit by the Department of Justice and Ripple, a cryptocurrency. Is it, in fact, a stock and a security? The SEC seems to think so. This is the Market Wake Up by Yahoo Finance. I'm Andy Serwer, along with Dan Howley and Jared Blickery. So the NASDAQ was the only winner yesterday, Jared. Some interesting things to get into on that front. And of course, COVID in the UK and the stimulus in Washington were the big subjects.
That is correct. And it was a pretty quiet, low volume, low range day, but there were some standout performances. And I'm going to let Dan talk about Apple in a couple minutes here, but that kind of was the story of the day. I mean, you look around, even their parts suppliers all jumping on the news that we might get an Apple car in a few years. So I'm looking at some of the suppliers. QuantumScape up 38% in one day, 555% over the trailing month. And you take a look at some of the other SPACs like IPV, that's a ticker, Interprivate Acquisition, it's up 82% over the last month. So there was a lot of money already hitting this space, and it's just going bonkers right now. But that's not the only place where we're finding some money flows. Got to talk about crypto because it was a big day for crypto. We're going to talk about XRP later, but Bitcoin was up another 3%, and it just doesn't seem like investors can push this thing down, even as we enter the kind of quiet time end of the year. Now, we do have a lot of liquidity flowing into the markets. That's probably a big factor, and also the tailwind of the Santa Claus rally. But cybersecurity, that's been hot. Looking at some big gains for CrowdStrike, that was up 6%. Datadog, that was up 4%. Checkpoint up 5%. So there are a number of pockets where money is flowing, even on these mixed days. And I should say the Dow was probably going to be down a lot more than 200 points had it not been for tech. The tech sector closed at a record high, and that's really Apple, Microsoft, and Salesforce. Those three components really saved the Dow from a larger rout. But just kind of thinking about the broader market as we head into the end of the year, we got the stimulus behind us. It still has to hit President Trump's desk, and that's going to happen in a couple days. Why the wait? They simply have to print the thing. It's like 5,600 pages on parchment. So that should be a done deal. We're worried about the COVID, the new COVID strain in UK. They're facing incredible difficulties now getting supplies. A lot of their transport routes have been shut off. Travel routes have been shut down. And the country is isolated heading into Brexit. So not an easy time for the UK, but a little bit better time here in the U.S., even as we face more lockdowns. There's a lot of hope surrounding the vaccines, which are just rolling out. Better news day by day here.
Yeah, Jared, I kind of want to touch on the NASDAQ and the Apple stocks in particular, just because, you know, when yesterday Tesla CEO Elon Musk, frequent tweeter of everything, essentially said that he tried to sell Tesla to Apple during what they kind of referred to as the production hell that the company was facing back in 2018 when they were trying to ramp up production of the Model 3. And so he said in the tweet that he tried to get a meeting with Tim Cook. His goal was to have Apple acquire Tesla at 1/10 its current value. The market cap of Tesla right now is $606 billion. So that would have been $60 billion for Tesla at that point. And, you know, it kind of makes sense that Apple didn't want to, you know, go for that at that point. It was the company was beset by issues in its manufacturing business. And, you know, the Model 3, which was supposed to be the car that would have really saved Tesla and, you know, did by all accounts so far. It was just lagging behind. They couldn't make deliveries. They had, you know, Musk famously said that he was sleeping under his desk and they were having workers make deliveries of vehicles. So it made sense to a degree that, you know, Apple wouldn't have been interested. But it is worth pointing out that at one point, Apple did look to acquire Tesla for around $240 a share. This was obviously years before, so it would have been, obviously a win for Apple. And it also comes on the news, as you said, that Apple suppliers were jumping because Reuters has this piece out reporting that Apple's on-again, off-again Project Titan autonomous vehicle program is now back on, and that they will be working on their own car. Now, these reports have been coming out since around 2016, that they've been working on a car since 2014. They've been working on a car, then they've been working on software, then they've been trying to get partners. BMW and Mercedes said no to them, so they went with Volkswagen to just build a little bus for their campus that was autonomous. So I don't know how much you can put into the idea that Apple would have a vehicle on the road. But look, Morgan Stanley seems to believe it because they think that it's just a matter of time. Gene Munster at Loop Ventures says that, it's likely to happen. But you have Dan Ives at Wedbush saying, look, this isn't a company that makes cars. They make electronics. It makes more sense for them to go into the electronic side of things where they would put their software into an OEM's vehicle. So I don't put much, into an iCar driving around anytime soon, even in the next 10 years. I think it would be more about the software and Apple finding the right OEM that would allow them to tinker with the design.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there, Dan. I don't think Apple's going to be building its own car. There is some excitement in the analyst community. Morgan Stanley came out and made a bear case against Tesla for this. And I just want to go back to Elon's tweet, because just reading it literally, and I'll read it here. It says, during the darkest days of the Model 3 program, I reached out to Tim Cook to discuss the possibility of Apple acquiring Tesla for 1/10 of our current market value. He refused to take the meeting. You could read that literally in a few different ways. He could have sent an email out that just got a curt response from some executive assistant, but you got to wonder if he sent out similar outreaches to other companies like Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett. So, I think in the long term that Apple's going to be a major player in the industry. I think this is signaling that they've made the hirings. And I think it's notable today that Apple was up, 2.5-3%. The gain in market cap was equal to General Motors' entire market cap. So that says a lot about what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously an incredible amount of interest when it comes to Tesla and Apple, and you put the two together and you have a perfect storm of Twitter activity, investing dollars flowing in, huge consumer interest. So it's going to be amazing. I mean, and imagine if we have like Waymo versus Tesla versus the Apple Mobile in 2024. And by the way, where's GM going to be in all that? Just crazy, 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 crazy stuff. And meanwhile, we're trying to get the vaccine out there and it's going okay. I feel like I'm hearing other countries are doing it better. And I think a lot of high profile people are getting the vaccine, maybe at the expense of our first responders, frontliners, senior citizens, et cetera. I'm not sure why the Congress people should be first in line, but maybe that's just my personal take on things. Wanted to delve into Walmart and the Department of Justice, because DOJ came swooping in yesterday, leveling charges against the world's biggest employer, well, in the U.S., private employer, and the biggest retailer, charging the company with malfeasance, really, when it comes to opioids and prescriptions. Dan, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty wild story. I mean, it essentially is the Justice Department saying that Walmart kind of helped feed the country's opioid addiction and the subsequent crisis that it's led to, overdoses, people having to go into rehab. Obviously, the pandemic and the isolation has led to people who are working to fight against drug addiction or alcohol addiction. It's made it harder for them because of the isolation. But this is, I think, something where the Justice Department, they have a 160-page complaint here, and they essentially are saying that, look, you didn't do enough to prevent these kind of pill mill doctors from doing their damnedest to get pills on the streets. And so they actually say as part of the complaint that pharmacists were filling prescriptions for dosage amounts that if they were actually taken as they were prescribed, people would have died from taking that much. So it's not, you know, as though seemingly, according to the government complaint, that Walmart didn't know about this. They say that some pharmacists actually reported this issue to Walmart's compliance department at their headquarters. They said that some, though, simply went ahead and filled out these prescriptions. Some said that they were part of these kind of schemes to get these prescriptions out onto the street, agreeing to talk to the DEA. So, I mean, you know, Walmart has already come out, said that this isn't accurate. There's all sorts of factual errors in this lawsuit. It will be interesting to see where this goes. But, you know, we had the Purdue kind of, you know, knocked around because of this. And it'll be interesting to see where this eventually ends up. Because as you said, Walmart, you know, it's one of the largest employers in the U.S. It's one of the largest pharmacy companies in the U.S. simply because of how ubiquitous Walmarts are. I mean, you go to any town in the country, there's a Walmart in driving distance pretty much. So it will be interesting to see how the company responds to this in the long term and what this suit actually says about them and for them. And, you know, if there is some kind of settlement, what that will mean and how much it'll be.
It's going to be a big settlement. Walmart has pretty deep pockets. You know, there's a lot of blame to go around for the opioid crisis. I think Walmart and maybe some of the other pharmacies were a bit complicit. And Walmart shot back, and actually they shot back preemptively in October, filing a suit against the DOJ. And they said, look, you guys in the DEA haven't been doing your jobs either. There's just a lot of culpability here. And as to Purdue, I'm glad they ended up in bankruptcy court. It's too bad the owners of the company were able to stash away billions of dollars in Switzerland.
Yeah, you know, also what strikes me here is the timing of this lawsuit. I mean, this has been around for a long time, and you know, regulators and lawmakers have gone after all manner of companies, not just Purdue, but the distributors, which are McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health, have been looked at, and as well as some of the pharmacies. And so, you know, Walmart's just been sitting there. So I'm curious as to why the government took so long and why they're coming in now. And of course, Jared, you suggested that, you know, it's like the Willie Sutton thing, right? Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money. Why do you sue Walmart? Because that's where the money is. And sure, they've got a lot of pharmacies. So I guess it makes sense. But I'm just curious as to why it took the government so long to sort of just figure it out right now. So I'm segueing into Ripple. Is that what I'm doing, Jared? I don't get the segue. What's the segue?
Well, okay, so Ripple is being sued by the SEC along with two of its executives. We got the CEO, Christian Larsen, and the current, that's a former CEO. The current CEO, Bradley Garlinghouse, used to be a Yahoo exec. And they're saying, they're questioning the timing too. Jay Clayton's leaving at the end of the year. He's the chief of the SEC, so that's kind of the setup.
I get it. Okay, and you're right. I mean, this, its currency, XRP, has been around for a long, long time. And there's always been this question of how do you regulate crypto? And, you know, XRP, Ripple, is a different, you know, beast from other currencies. It has more to do with banking. The stock is up a lot, or I should say not the stock. That's a whole issue. XRP is up a lot. Well, it depends who you want to believe, whether it's a stock or not. But XRP is up a lot this year, but it hasn't come all the way back the way Bitcoin has. I mean, Bitcoin is at a new all-time high. XRP is not. But XRP has a ton of fans out there. I mean, people are very, very passionate about this stuff, Jared. And I don't know if you want to get into sort of what's going on exactly here with this one.
All right, so let me just give a little bit more background on the lawsuit. This is a complaint. First, Ripple announced that this was happening before the SEC formally made the announcement today. Ripple said that it was going to be sued by the SEC because it sold $1.3 billion worth of XRP. And the SEC is alleging that it was for non-cash consideration as well as cash consideration. So basically, you're trading a what the SEC considers a security for something else, for money, for labor. And are you going to get something in return in the future? If you do, that's part of the Howey test. The Howey test is something the SEC has used for decades. It's a legal precedent on what constitutes a security. Now, other regulators have gone out and considered XRP to be a currency for years, since its inception. Now, this is the first time it's really been tested. But without having the benefit of reading the suit just yet, it does seem a bit suspicious as to the timing. You know, Jay Clayton out at the end of the year, Biden's probably going to put somebody else in who's not going to care as much about the matter. And so they wanted to get this done. And yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm behind Ripple as there is behind crypto. So it's a really interesting story, and I'm just waiting for the lawsuit to read.
Yeah, and it's something that's interesting just because it says, you know, the CEO had basically come out and said that Ripple had been allowed to function as a currency for years, and that the SEC, you know, now we're seeing issues with the company itself when the SEC had allowed them to do this. So yeah, to Andy's point earlier, the timing is odd. It just doesn't seem to line up with anything for any particular reason other than just being arbitrary.
And according to the Grateful Dead, ripple in still water when there is no pebble toss nor wind to blow. For all you deadheads out there. The name of that song is Ripple, of course. Brad Garlinghouse, as Jared said, former Yahoo executive, author of the famous Peanut Butter Memo. Brad Garlinghouse, Peanut Butter Memo, look it up. Kind of an interesting one there. So this battle between crypto and regulators will go on, and it's going to be really kind of a defining part of money, that narrative, probably for years and maybe even decades to come. So we'll be following that, no doubt. I think there's some mystery about the timing. I agree with what Jared is saying there. As I think there is some mystery about the timing of the Walmart DOJ dust up. And, you know, is it the end of the year? Is it the end of the Trump administration, et cetera, et cetera? DOJ not supposed to be politicized. SEC not supposed to be politicized. But, of course, they are to a degree. So that's something to chew on as well. Plus the markets and Elon and Tim Cook. Will we hear more about that? We'll all have to wait and see. This is the Market Wake Up by Yahoo Finance. I'm Andy Serwer, along with Dan Howley and Jared Blickery. Have a great day.